right, there's only one guy who explains it better than me, and that is Andy Baggerly at CSN Bags with two G's. Andy, how are you this morning?
Hey, Andy.
Hey, Marty, I've got one question for you guys. Are you going to double dip it today? Are you going to do Giants during the day and A's at night?
Good question, Marty, because it's 7:05 first pitch over there in Oakland tonight against the Fighting Jeters, right?
Yeah, so how does that affect me?
Well, you going to double dip, or are you going to do the postgame and miss Jeter?
I think I may do the postgame. I think I may be obligated. I think Salty would have a heart attack if I wasn't on.
Well, Salty wants Abreu. He wants Abreu. And everyone's making fun of him, and then Abreu goes 4-for-4 yesterday. So I sent a tweet to Tolbert. I said, hey, you know what? Maybe Salty's not crazy because Abreu went 4-for-4. So we'll see what he has to say to that.
Well, that's a tough sentence. Maybe Salty's not crazy. We love Salty. We do. We do. Hey, Andy, I didn't get to it with Henry. And I want to get to it with you. And Father's Day is tomorrow, and it's a good Father's Day theme weekend. Henry had some interesting stories about growing up in L.A. and his father, of course, from Europe. Didn't really know baseball, but then learned it and passed it on to Henry. Father's Day stories for you, because you're obviously a great baseball person. You know the game cold. Did your dad, kind of intersect with you on baseball?
Not so much, Marty. I have seven brothers and sisters, so my parents probably gave me 5 minutes of attention growing up. No, I'm just kidding. Of course. You watch Field of Dreams and you have a catch with your dad, and that's what baseball's all about. For me, I grew up a Cubs fan because all my older brothers were Cubs fans, and I had several older brothers who had more than a decade on me, so they were just as much father figures too. And growing up in L.A., after moving there as a little kid from Chicago, we were the only Cubs fans we knew. So we didn't have cable TV growing up, so we would just listen for the scores on the 10 p.m. newscast. And, of course, the Cubs usually lost. But that's sort of my experience growing up with baseball was more with my older brothers.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I always say this, and on Father's Day, it doesn't have to be a father. It just could be a male figure. Or a female figure in your life, but there is someone who connects you to baseball. Could be an uncle, a cousin, a brother, some nephew, or just a friend down the street who does it. And that's why we have this Lefty O'Doul Award Foundation for Kids coming up, the Uncle Abe Award tomorrow. Because in my life, my uncle at age 5 or 6 years old introduced me to baseball. My father was gone. He died. And it became my friend the whole life. So I like to get people's stories. So, Andy, thanks for sharing that with us. All right, let's talk Giants baseball. Last night, and I asked Henry this as well, did you write your lead already before Romo came in?
Oh, that story was done. It was ready to send. I had it all set in an email. I had it ready to go on the page. I thought I wrote an okay story, even though I had to write it in about 5 minutes. But, nobody's going to listen to the woe is me from the sports writers in the press box. And I will say this. 1 year I covered the Dodgers, and Eric Gagne was the closer. The year he won the Cy Young, he didn't blow a save all year. And he was a dream to have on deadline because you never like late lead changes. You never like extra innings. People ask me, oh, do you root for the Giants? And I say, no, I root for good stories to write about, and I root for no late beat changes, no extra innings. No rain delays. Rain delays suck. So anyway, the baseball gods, after giving me Eric Gagne for a year, saw fit to bless me with a couple years of Ramondo Benitez. So I do believe in baseball gods.
All right, what would you say about Romo last night? Then again, I surmise that maybe the Rockies are just in his head. He looks like a different pitcher against Colorado. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think he made some mistakes, but I also think he got ahead of some hitters. I didn't think he was awful. And there have been a save or two where he's gotten away with some cement mixer sliders. And, he's not striking out batters at the rate he used to. He's still at 8 per 9 innings, but there's nothing bad about that. It's not like he can't miss bats anymore. But he's just not putting up the ridiculous numbers that he used to put up. The 13 strikeouts per 9, you look up and he's got 54 Ks and like 3 walks. I mean, that's not the Romo we're seeing. And partly it's because he's pitching a little bit differently. He knows he has to show a little more to lefties, and he has. And I think he's taken it upon himself to become a better, more rounded, well-rounded pitcher, which you have to do as you graduate from being a specialist to a closer who faces everybody. And you still look up at the hits, and entering yesterday's game, I think it was 15 hits in 27 innings. His whip was 0.7. I mean, that's terrific. You know, he'd saved 20 out of 22, you know, numbers that would put him on the All-Star team. So, you know, I really don't understand why there's this sort of, you know, closer controversy, at least within the minds of some fans, because, yeah, Romo is a step below maybe what he was 2 years ago. But, you know, how many teams around the league would love to have him as a closer? I mean, the A's dumped their $10 million closer a week into the season, and they've sort of, you know, had to go back and forth a bit. So, you know, I really do think it's much ado about nothing. And then you look at Pagan throwing to the wrong base, Bochy puts the go-ahead run on base because of that. And obviously that move didn't work out. He got a ground ball up the middle that turned into a two-run single. So, you know, yeah, Romo was not his sharpest, but it's not like he was leaving everything over the plate, and it's not like that loss is all on him.
Andy Baggerly, CSNBayArea.com, and catch him out on 720 on your high def. I know I always do on Comcast. So, hey, great column last night, Andy, that you squeezed in a Buckaroo Banzai quote. Wherever you go, there you are. Fantastic for all 80s film fans. So if you'll explain a little bit of the context on that, and then also tell us about Tim Lincecum, because I know that Giants fans are a little heartbroken about the loss last night and the manner they did lose. But Tim Lincecum had a pretty good outing as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the point I was trying to make with Buckaroo Banzai there is, like you said, wherever you go, there you are. And I think people were freaking out just a little bit when they lost those three games to the Nationals. And I really didn't make too much of it because they ran into a hot team. They ran into a team that pitched really well. They still created lots of opportunities. It's not like they, you know, got shut down with two hits in any of those games. They out-hit the Nationals in two of the three games they lost. But, you know, they didn't really beat themselves so much as, hey, they ran into a good team that played better than them for those three games they lost. That's what the Giants have been doing to teams the previous 2 months. And you just tip your cap, I think. And what really concerns you is a loss like last night where they have the fundamental breakdowns because, you know, you run into hot teams, you run into cold teams. That's just the way the schedule goes. But the one constant is yourself. Wherever you go, there you are. And you're always one of those two teams on the field. So your opponents come and go. But if you're not playing well, if you're not executing, then that's where you get a little bit concerned. And, you know, for one inning last night, the Giants definitely beat themselves. And that's something that they have to sort of, you know, buckle down and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, that's a good adage of baseball. You got to pitch, you got to catch the ball, get some timely hits, and once in a while hit a home run. They haven't hit a home run in seven games. Andy Baggerly with us. Andy, on the other side of the coin, Morse comes through with those two out hits again. Over half his RBIs come with two outs. Pence is still running like wild around the bases, but Buster Posey still doesn't look like Buster Posey. What is up with him?
Well, you know, if you go over year to year, I was going to wait until July 1st to really do that because that's when he started to hit the skids last year. The big thing for me is the extra base power is not there. I mean, here's something that may stun you a little bit. Brandon Crawford has the same number of triples as Buster Posey has doubles. You know, and I don't think that, I think the back thing is probably limiting him here and there. You know, I think it'll help when Belt comes back, take a little bit of pressure off of him. But, yeah, you're right. We haven't seen that sort of Buster Posey who can put the whole team on his back yet. And the good news is this lineup is a little better, so he doesn't have to do that. Now, one thing that I think can really help get him going, Pablo Sandoval, right now, he's starting to look like Tony Gwynn from the right side. I mean, he really is having good at-bats. He's getting his bat on everything. He's got the plate coverage back we're used to seeing. So Pablo's really starting to come around, and once they can get Pablo and Buster kind of in a groove together, then I think you can see this offense start to take off again.
Andy, anything happened at second base? And I think the issue for me, it's the strikeouts. You know, if you're hitting 185, but, you know, putting the ball in play and keeping rallies going, yeah, it's one thing. But the strikeouts in the eighth spot put the pitcher up, and now you're out of the inning. So you see anything coming at second base?
Yeah, the seventh spot yesterday, Marty, and really, you know, Romo should not have been in that game at all. They should have blown the doors wide open on that one. You know, Brandon Hicks really, I think, deserves some share of the blame for that loss yesterday because he comes up in two spots, second inning, second and third, one out, and he strikes out, and that makes it easy for the Rockies to get an at-bat in that inning. They walk Adrianza in the eighth spot. Lincecum puts up a feisty at-bat, but end up getting him out and get out of that inning. Then the next inning, De La Rosa's obviously hurt. The trainers come out. He goes 3-0 to Hicks, two on, And Hicks, you know, green light 3-0. Well, okay, you can't fault him for swinging because he's a seven hitter with two guys behind him that aren't much of threats. But he swings through it, or he fouls it back, and he ends up striking out when he's up 3-0 in the count to start. And then he strands two in that at bat, too. And, of course, that's the end of the day for De La Rosa. He barely escapes. And that's where the Giants needed to land a knockout punch. And Hicks hasn't hit a homer in his last, I think, 16 or 17 games. He's batting about 130. And I think it's 26 strikeouts and 55 at-bats. So, you know, I do think that it's games like that that's going to make Brian Sabin go out and realize he's got to get a second baseman. Because as well as Hicks has played defensively, you know, that bottom of the lineup used to be starting rallies, and now they're killing rallies.
Well, it's nice, Pat, when you're 43 and 25.
Yeah.
It really is. It's nice to say that because you don't feel that, no pun intended, that panic.
Sure.
To do something.
So Joe Panic over Daniel Murphy, huh? Well, to me, your eight-hitter is not nearly as big a concern as your three-hitter, who's batting .214 over his last 30, $167 million. Hey, but I can't let you go, Bags, without asking you about Lincecum, who had his miles per hour up a little bit last night. What'd you see out of Tim Lincecum? 30th birthday tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot to address that in your question earlier. I was impressed. You know, I think that you look at his breaking stuff, and he really seemed to bury pitches with two strikes and be able to put away hitters, which he hasn't always been able to do, you know, over the last couple of years. And yeah, it's impressive. But the thing is, with Lincecum, I never sort of – you can't ever really say, oh, he's back, because too many times we've sort of been going down that road after a start or two, and then he'll relapse. So I think the key for him, as always, is consistency. Get ahead. Don't beat yourself. Don't walk guys. And he did such a good job of that early. I think six walks over his first five starts, and then he sort of started lapsing into some of those deep counts and those four or five walk starts. So, you know, I think the key for him is just going to be get ahead regardless if his stuff is crisp or it's sagging on a given day and get himself in position where he can use those pitches, those really good off-speed pitches, to get hitters to expand the zone.
Andy, good. You want to set up today's game a little bit? Vogelsong coming back. He's pitched well here. Mm-hmm. He gets ahead in the count. He does extremely well, but the Rockies did light him up pretty good in Colorado.
Yeah, don't know a whole lot about the guy they're facing today, but the Rockies, man, I tell you what, they really are in bad shape. I mean, Kadire's on the DL. Carlos Gonzalez is on the DL and out for a while. They bring up this kid, Eddie Butler, who's one of their top prospects. He makes one start, and he goes on the DL. You know, Matzek had a really nice start for them in his major league debut, but he's a guy who apparently throws it all over the place a little bit. So, you know, we'll see if he can sustain what he did in his first start. But, you know, this is – and Tulowitzki left for a pinch runner last night, so he's not 100% either. And this is when you got to step on a team. You show them no mercy, and you put up the pressure, you know, Vogelsong has been very, very good lately, and I think that as long as they play clean behind him, they got a real good chance today.
All right, Andy, thanks so much. We'll see you out here shortly.
Thanks, Andy.
See you soon. See you soon, guys.
All right, that is Andy Baggerly at CSN Bags with two Gs. Always, you know, you get Henry on, Andy on, Alex on, Chris Haft. Really, if you follow these people, and I mean this, on the Internet, you get every bit of Giants news you ever want to get.